Some years ago, before this marvellous new church was built, when we were all squashed into the old church and facing the other way and not this way, and it was Pentecost, and I was giving out communion to people, and as they came up, I looked at them and saw how they were, and I gave them the bread. And then one lady came up, and she was in tears. The tears were pouring down her face. And so I thought, oh dear, poor lady, something terrible must have happened. So I said to her, would you like me to pray with you? And she said, you needn't. And I said, what about the tears? And she said, the tears are because I'm so aware of Jesus' presence and it being Pentecost that I can only weep. Now, I've never forgotten that lady, and this passage shows us that it's possible to be that close to Jesus Christ that he influences, inspires, alters our perspective and changes us so we become different people. The passage is one for the chosen people, and today these are Christians. But we all know that as Christians we can get tired, and as it were, to use modern language, we can lose the plot. I'll take a step back now. You've had your story. A few weeks ago, Caroline and I were watching a program about Kew Gardens. The program was recorded last year when the summer proved dry and hot. And in the pictures on the television, we could see the blue sky and the sun pouring out in Kew Gardens. We saw pictures of parched grass and of trees, which due to the drought literally dropped branches. The trees, to conserve their health, dropped the branches. It brought home to me more fully the importance of rain, and lots of it, for our beautiful English landscape, and that without rain, the greenness would be removed, our trees reduced in number. Now, why would I start a sermon on an Isaiah passage like this? I do so because the nation of Israel had, in the time from 597 BC, when Jerusalem was sacked and destroyed, gone through a spiritual drought. We have heard in previous sermons how their center of worship, the temple in Jerusalem, had been utterly destroyed, how many of the people had been transported to Babylon, how the people had given up hope, yes, given up hope of any change for the better. It is into this situation where people are almost dead spiritually, they think nothing can change, nothing can be different. It is into this situation the prophet speaks, a situation in which the burden of the people's transgressions, yes, they had transgressed God's laws, has removed all spiritual confidence. As far as the nation of Israel was concerned, they were a dead nation, a nation that had been given up to the spoilers and to the robbers. But now, through the prophet, in chapters 43 and 44, God shows that change is at hand. In this light, we shall this evening look at the first five verses of Isaiah 44, which were read to us earlier. So keep those verses, only five of them, in front of you on page 683. Now remember back how in Genesis 35, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Now, verse 1 of our passage, the Lord, Yahweh, is speaking through Isaiah to the people of Jacob, Israel, his chosen ones. The use of Jeshurun is merely another name for Israel. He is speaking to Israel, to the people of God. Here is the authentic voice of God reminding the Israelites that whatever may have happened, they are still his people. In fact, the Lord goes much further. He was involved in their formation as embryos in their mother's wombs. It is again this idea that the Israelites are those men and women who have been chosen, yes, chosen, to be the people of God. Whatever may have happened to them, that is, despite the destruction of the temple, despite the Babylonian captivity, despite their sins, despite their doubts, yes, doubts like we have, and not least their spiritual dryness, they are the people of God, and we are the people of God, whatever has happened. And it is into this situation, this dead situation, that the Lord speaks. Their transgressions blotted out, Isaiah 43:25, just on the left-hand side of the column. The Lord, Yahweh, will now pour water onto thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. He will, all this is in verse 3, pour out his spirit upon the descendants of Jacob and his blessing on their offspring to come. Now for an illustration. It's lovely, isn't it, when people that you haven't seen for some years turn up. And I had a telephone call one Sunday afternoon, just about 4 weeks ago, and on the end of the phone was an old friend of ours called Roger, and he lives in Australia, so it was a surprise to hear him in this country. And he visited us for the night. He came to the service here at 6:30. He told us about the problem. Another friend of ours, Jo, a lady who lives in Australia, she is a person who loves the environment. She loves trees. She had planted these trees. And her trees, which she quite recently planted, were near to death because of a severe drought in Australia. And so Roger, bless him, because he's that sort of man, arranged for a water tanker to drive onto Joe's land so that by pouring water on the trees, they could be saved, they could blossom, they could go green, they would be okay for the future. Now this is the picture here as applied to the people of Israel, who for many years had suffered a spiritual drought. The Lord will change this, pour out the blessing of the Spirit, bringing a miracle of new spiritual growth, just like those trees growing again because they've had water. Israel as a nation will prosper again. The picture here is verse 4, the springing up of the green tamarisk, just like willows by flowing streams. You've all seen willows by flowing streams and how wonderful it is, and they're green in the spring. The tamarisk is an evergreen shrub with feathery branches suitable for planting near sea. That is why the parallel is willows. Water is involved with both the shrub and the tree. Life-giving water. And it is life-giving water of spiritual refreshment that the Lord promises to Israel and to the offspring to come. And there is even more to the blessing promised. Israel's neighbors will look at its prosperity and covet this. Their neighbors will look at them and seeing them going for it, so far as God is concerned, and covet that. One person, verse 5, will say, I am the Lord's. Another will be called by the name of Jacob, yet another will write on the hand, the Lord's, and adopt the name of Israel. What do these words mean? They foretell the day when men and women want to know the Lord. They're eager to know the Lord. And in order to do so, want to join the company of the people of God, become the chosen ones. They are about the extension of the people of God to incorporate many more people, a direct result of the pouring out of the Spirit, again like the pouring out of water on those trees in Australia suffering drought. Today, many Christians, whilst they don't tattoo their hands or bodies to show they are Christians, you know, they do wear crosses, don't they? We see lots of Christians with crosses. It's as if the friends and neighbours we have in Crowborough will look at us Christians and say, I want what he's got. I want what she's got. They will therefore join us at All Saints and St. Richard's to show they are the Lord. And to show they are the Lord's, they will put a little cross there. And so we will know that the church has increased, that there are more people within the chosen body of people. These verses look forward to the prosperity, both spiritual and practical, of Israel. And in today's world, God speaking to us Christians through Isaiah, we can only wonder at the possibility of new growth in the Christian church, both in Crowborough and worldwide. We can only wonder at the possibility of growth in our own church through the mission, yes, next month, yes, but over the months ahead. We can only wonder how many more people will come to church, will be committed to Christ, because the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us and on them and made the chosen people of this town far larger, far more keen to worship Jesus Christ. And all these things are not possible through our own works, through our own activities, through doing this and doing that. Yes, they are important, but the work will happen because the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us and on the people in our town and in this church and in the Anglican church in this country. And there is change because the power of God is at hand. That's what Isaiah was saying to the people today, and that's what he says to us today. Everything is possible through the power of our Trinity God. Known only to themselves, some of us here this evening, yes, here this evening, have been going through a time of spiritual drought, when all our previous experience, yes, we remember it, of the presence of Jesus seems to have gone. We look at other people and we think, I don't feel like that anymore. I did 10 years ago, but I don't feel like that anymore. The excitement of our Christian life has gone. We're Christian, yes, definitely, but it's gone. A few of us may have given up hope of change, and yet courageously we continue to come to church week by week because we think that's important, because we're committed to Christ, but we don't feel anything. We don't experience Jesus Christ. Maybe we look at our keen Christian friends and covet their enthusiasm and their evident closeness to Jesus. If some of us are feeling like this, take heart from this passage. Your present experience is so similar to that of the Israelites so many years ago. They thought a change for the better was impossible. Perhaps we think we will never change. We will go to a day of our death like that. Well, listen to God speaking through this passage. If this evening we listen to him and open our lives once again to the Holy Spirit, he will in our lives, yes, in our actual lives, pour the water of new spiritual energy onto our thirsty land. God will pour the Holy Spirit upon us and his blessing upon our families, and things will be different, and we shall know Jesus Christ in a way we may never have known before. And this evening can be the day when everything changes for us. But you know, there's always a sting in the tail, to use a modern expression. This may require a change on our part, namely a new openness to God, expecting him to give us spiritual refreshment, yes. But let's illustrate that. Say in our garden we have a shrub, and it's a lovely shrub which urgently needs moisture, for otherwise it will die. We're not allowed to use the hose because there's a drought throughout the country, and there are rain clouds just coming. Now, if we were to put a cover over the shrub, the rain wouldn't get to it, would it? No, we leave that shrub open to the elements so that the rain will reach the roots. It will receive the necessary moisture and then spring to life with all the benefits of the rain that has come down from the skies. Similarly, If we cover up our lives to God's help and do not open our lives to his word through the Bible, because we don't have ears to hear, we don't bother to have quiet times, we don't actually say, Lord, I want you to speak to me through the Bible, I want to receive more of you, then we shall not receive spiritual refreshment. So read God's word. Every morning, start your day, even if it's short, with a time when you look at God's word. Be open to the Holy Spirit. Don't be nervous that he may change you in a way you don't want to be changed. Be open to the Holy Spirit. And all of us at All Saints and St. Richard's, even if everything is going well for us spiritually, need to continue to open our lives to the Holy Spirit. The way to live is to do so in the knowledge that we are members of God's chosen people, wonderfully chosen when in the womb. To live as described in an old, and I couldn't find the book, but it's an ancient book about Brother Lawrence, who works in the kitchens, and he dedicates every action to the glory of God. And if we can start living like that, reading God's word and dedicating every action to the glory of God, you will find things will be completely different. Your love for Jesus Christ will increase and increase and increase. You see, you won't be covering up yourself from the benefit of the Holy Spirit. I know we're in our offices sometimes. I know at our place of work we're stressed. Well, I used to be stressed until I retired in my office in Tunbridge Wells. And so often I'd go in the morning and I'd hear the telephone and I'd think, oh my goodness, it's that difficult man again. I'm sorry about men, but it was usually a man, not a woman. And then I had to remember where I was. And I used to take the Bible to the office to remind me. And then I would say, Lord, help me with this day. Help me with this man. And it's amazing what a difference it makes. But generally, whatever happens to us, whether illness, bereavement, and bereavement can take different types. It can be a bereavement because we've lost somebody we love. It can be a bereavement because we've been divorced. It can be a bereavement because we've lost our job. But as a member of the chosen people, whatever happens, we have the promise given to the chosen people of God, do not fear. We can always rely on God's help. Never forget that. These few verses remind us that we as chosen people should be different, and obviously so. Yes, we live in the world, but we're different. The people of Crowborough, that is friends and families, not yet Christian, should look at us and see that we have something they don't have. When the mission comes along next month, I'm hoping that the people who come who are not Christians will look at us and say, I want to be part of them. So smile. There's nothing like a smile on a Christian to help people along. You see, these friends and families who are not yet Christians, seeing our conviction as God's chosen people, will spring up like a green tamarisk, like willows by flowing streams. They will start growing. They will start flowering. They will be committed to Jesus Christ because they have seen in us the power of the Spirit making a difference. And they will see the love of Jesus Christ in us and want the love of Jesus in their own lives. Do we see that Isaiah prophesies that others outside the people of God will be touched by the Spirit and change? And today with our coming mission, this is so relevant. We need to pray, yes, pray, that there will be converts. That is, new Christians, fresh in their faith, like the new leaves of the willow in spring. And wonderfully, those new Christians will say, I am the Lord's now. Isn't that wonderful? Others will say, look at my lapel, I've got a cross now. I want people to know at work that I am a Christian. They will be saying that they are the Lord's and have been adopted as children of God. And all this is part of the promise. And it can happen in our day, just as it eventually happened in Isaiah's day. So this evening, let us be open to God, all of us, afresh. Let us not go home without praying, Lord, do your work in me. As a chosen person, as part of the people of God, let's move forward with confidence, not our own confidence, but that the power of God in us will make the difference. Confidence because love of Christ has cast out our fear, and the power of Spirit in our weakness has given us an energy and excitement about the future for an ever-increasing Christian community in this time, but much more than that, an ever-increasing Christian community in our nation and an ever-increasing community, Christian community in the world at large. The floodgates are open if we open our lives to the Holy Spirit and learn to let Jesus rule our hearts and our lives.